Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Okay, good morning again. It is great to be here in the house of God this morning. Are we ready to receive from the Word of God this morning? Are you locked and loaded? Are you ready to go? Because the Word of God, every time we hear the Word of God, we have an opportunity to have our lives transformed, don't we? We have an opportunity to hear what God wants to say, what God wants to share into our lives, into our situations. And so when we come before the Word of God, we don't take that lightly, do we? It's an amazing, amazing opportunity. It's a great thing that we can sit under the Word of God and we can really hear what God wants to say into our lives. I'm excited to preach this morning. I flew back from Rome late Friday night. I got back. So if you're wondering why I look really rested and rejuvenated, that's because I have had a child-free 4 days this week. Amen. And so that's been really wonderful. But it's great to be back in the house of God this morning, sharing the word with you this morning. So I'm going to share some scriptures. Are we ready? So these scriptures are going to, if they come up on the screen, they will just pave the way really for us for what I want to share this morning or set the scene for us. So they'll come up on the screen in just a moment. But first one, Hebrews 10. Here we go. You need to persevere. Everyone say persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. So remember that word, persevere. Okay, next one. Colossians 1, 9 to 11. We have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Why? So that you may have great endurance. Everyone say endurance. And patience. Everyone say patience. Okay, we like these words, don't we? Endurance, patience, perseverance. We're enjoying this morning, aren't we? Okay, last one to set the scene for us this morning. Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. My title this morning is this: In It for the Long Haul. In It for the Long Haul. Are we in it for the long haul? Yeah. We're in it for the long haul, aren't we? We're in it for the long haul this morning. What does that phrase mean? Is it a phrase that you're familiar with this morning, being in it for the long haul? It means this: being determined to continue with something until it is finished successfully. Determined to continue with something until it is finished successfully. So these words that we've just read about perseverance, about endurance, about not giving up, that's about being in it for the long haul. You know, the first ever time I flew on a plane, it was a short haul flight. So we went to Portugal and had a holiday there. And it was maybe 2-3 hour flight. And I'm thinking, this is great. Doesn't take very long. Get all the excitement of taking off. And it's really fun. And, you know, going on holiday and it's great. Had a really good time. The year after that, thought, you know what? I can do this flying thing. Let's go to the Dominican Republic. So we went to the Dominican Republic. That was a 9-hour flight. Plane takes off. I think, yeah, this is fun. This is great. We're going on holiday. Couple of hours in, I'm like, this is not fun anymore. This is not fun anymore. It is a long flight. You have very little room, just in a very confined space for a long amount of time. And it was a long haul flight. You see, the thing is, I wanted the luxurious Caribbean destination, but I wanted the short haul flight. I wanted the short haul flight, but I wanted to arrive at the long haul destination. Can any of us relate to that this morning? Because sometimes our human nature is that we want to get places quickly, don't we? We don't like the journey. Does anyone like journeys? I'm sure there's a few of you that do. But mostly we kind of endure it, don't we? We endure the journey to get to the destination. And that's why I wanted to share those Bible verses to set the scene for us this morning about being persistent, about enduring, about patience, about not giving up, because we're in this thing for the long haul, aren't we? You will know that when we were embarking on the building project, how many of you know that we had to be in it for the long haul, didn't we? We had to be in it for the long haul. And now we're here in this building. We've not arrived at our destination, have we? We're in it for the long haul. We want to see lives changed. We want to see this community impacted. We want to see lives touched. We want to see people meeting Jesus. So we're in it for the long haul, aren't we? We're here for as long as it takes to see what God wants to accomplish in this place. You see, the thing is, if you want to arrive at the best destination for your life, you have to be in it for the long haul. Does anyone agree with me this morning? You have to be in it for the long haul. Just want to give you a few quick fire examples from the Bible, if that's okay, that will really help us understand what the Bible says about this whole idea of being in it for the long haul, being persistent, enduring, not giving up. So my first example is this morning. So here we have the Israelites, and God says to them that he's going to set his people free. He's going to rescue them. But how many of you know the story in the Bible? It took 40 years, didn't it, until they crossed over into the promised land. 40 years is quite a long time, isn't it? I'm quite privileged to be able to say that's longer than I've been alive. 40 years is quite a long time. But Deuteronomy 8 says this: remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. What an amazing provision God made for them, that the journey took that long, yet their clothes did not wear out, their shoes did not wear out. They had the manna, they had provision in terms of food, they had everything that they needed. But the thing is, they had to be in it for the long haul. If they'd have given up after a year or after 20 years or 39 years and 364 days, they wouldn't have seen their destination. They had to be in it for the long haul. Another reason, another example from the Bible, Joshua and the walls of Jericho. So here we see God saying to the people that he's going to deliver the city of Jericho into their hands. But he gives them some really precise instructions. He says to them, this is how we're going to do it. This is how you are going to get the deliverance of this city. You are going to march around the city. You're going to march around the city for 7 days. But on the seventh day, you're not only going to march around the city once, but you're going to march around the city 7 times, and then you will see this city being delivered into your hands. What a strange request that God made, and a strange way that he said he was going to deliver this city into their hands. But the truth is, they had to be obedient to what God had said and the method that he was going to use to deliver the city into their hands, but they had to be in it for the long haul. Can you imagine if they'd have walked around the city for 7 days, and even 6 days on that seventh day, and then thought, you know what, I've had enough of this now. They would not have reached that final destination. They had to be in it for the long haul. Another example, the woman that we read about in the Gospels, the woman with the issue of blood who'd been suffering for 12 long years. And the Bible says that she'd spent everything that she had. She'd spent all of her money trying to find a relief from her situation, trying to find a cure. And she couldn't find any way to be healed from this situation. But then she met Jesus one day, and she pushed through the crowds to get to Jesus. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, then I will be healed. And so this woman did that, and she received her healing. But it was 12 long years. It was 12 long years. She had to be in it for the long haul. Another example, we see the story in the Gospels of a paralyzed man on a mat, and Jesus is in town. And lots of people are flocking to see Jesus because they know that if they go and see Jesus, that he will help them, he will restore them, he will heal them. And this guy is paralyzed, and he knows that he cannot physically push through the crowd to get to Jesus. So what happens is a group of friends come alongside him and they say, you might not be able to do that for yourself, but guess what? We can do it for you. So they get him on a mat and they carry him and they hustle through the crowds, and then they get to the place where Jesus is. But guess what? Jesus is in a house, and they can't get to the door. So what do? They get up onto the roof. And then when they're on the roof, they realize they've got to then get through the roof to get to Jesus. So they start breaking a hole in the roof, and then they lower him down. And this guy gets his healing, but it took his friends to have to plow through those situations and those scenarios to get this guy to Jesus. His friends, they had to be in it for the long haul. Can you imagine if they'd given up when they saw the crowds, or given up when they saw the house, or given up when they saw how thick this roof was that they had to smash through? They wouldn't have got to the blessing that God wanted to give them. They had to be in it for the long haul. You know, in my role here as pastoral care coordinator, I have a phrase that I sometimes use with people that I'm caring for, and it's, I'm in this thing for the long haul. You know, whatever it takes, however long this thing takes, however bad it gets, whatever comes your way, however dark your days might seem, I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm standing with you and beside you. I'm in it for the long haul. Sometimes people feel like a burden, don't they? They feel like a burden when they're going through something tough. But we, as a church, we stand with you, and we're committed to being in it with you for the long haul. Jesus is committed to us for the long haul, isn't he? So we need to commit in our journey of faith, don't we? Sometimes it's hard, it's really tough when life isn't easy, when we find challenges. And sometimes we feel tempted to kind of jump off the bandwagon and get some wisdom elsewhere and not bother going to church because this thing is hard and this journey I'm on is hard. But my challenge this morning is, in your walk of faith, let's commit to being in this thing for the long haul together. Commit in our journey of faith that we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. When we need to endure, we'll endure. When we need to have patience, we'll have patience, because we are committed and we're in this thing together and we're in it for the long haul. Are you still with me this morning? So I've just got three short points that I want to bring, really just to hit this message home about being committed, being persistent and enduring. So my first point this morning is this. If it's going to come up on the screen, it's this: skip the shortcut. Skip the shortcut. Who loves the shortcut? Yeah? No one's admitting to this. I know Pastor Steve likes a shortcut. We've been on enough walks together to know that. But Matthew 7 says this. He knows me well enough to know by now that when I say we're going for a walk, our families get together sometimes and go on a walk together. When I say we're going on a walk, I mean a walk. I don't mean like a stroll. I don't mean like a short distance thing. Like when you go for a walk, you're going for a walk. Yeah? Go for a walk. Good few miles. 7 or 8. There's a great verse in the Bible that says this: don't look for shortcuts to God. Wow. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. Total attention. Skip the shortcut. There are times, aren't there, where we experience the suddenly or the immediately, and we might pray a prayer or we might take a request to God, and actually we experience God coming through, and it's like an immediate thing, and we're like, wow, that is amazing. God has come through for me and it's been amazing. We see some examples in the Bible where Jesus healed people and it was an immediate thing. In Mark chapter 1, we see that Jesus heals a leper, and the Bible uses the word immediately. Immediately he was cleansed. Immediately he was healed. Matthew chapter 14, we see Peter walking to Jesus on the lake, but he loses his courage and he starts to sink and he cries out to Jesus. And the Bible says immediately Jesus reached out and caught him. In Matthew 20, we see two blind men who need to be healed, and they encounter Jesus, and it says, immediately, they receive their healing. See, we all love the immediately, don't we? We all love the immediately. We love it when God comes through for us, and he comes through for us straight away. You know, the first time you make that prayer request, you know that God has come through for you, and it's an immediate thing. But there are also times when we experience the slowly, and we have to commit to journeying through, and we have to commit to the process. And it's not an easy thing. Like the examples we looked at earlier, the Israelites for 40 years, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, all these examples that we looked at earlier where they had to be committed to the process. It was not an easy thing. They had to be committed to that process. You see, sometimes what we can do in life is we can look for shortcuts because we don't like being in it for the long haul. Shortcuts are easier, aren't they? Shortcuts take less time. Shortcuts get us to the destination quicker, or so we think. We don't like the process. We don't like the waiting. We don't like the work or the perseverance or the endurance involved in being in it for the long haul. You know, when we go on holiday to a place called Salcombe, South Devon, beautiful place, there's a walk that we like to go on, which Pastor Steve and Becky, they know about this. It's a really beautiful walk. And how many of you know when you go for a walk, you have to have your end destination as cake of some sort? Is anyone else with me on that one? Yeah? If there's no cake at the end, just forget it. I'm not going. So there's this really beautiful walk. And at the end of this walk, there's a hut on a coastal path. And there's loads of cakes and cream teas. It's absolutely beautiful. But to get on this walk, there are two different routes that you can take. One, basically, you walk through a field and you're there. The other, you have to walk right up some steps, loads and loads of steps, climb really high up, and that takes you onto the coast path. And then you walk round the winding coast path, in and out, in and out. But in those ins and outs on that journey, there are some absolutely amazing views, but it takes you about four times longer to then get to the cake. So when we get to this specific point in the route, and we go, okay, which way we're going to go? We're going to go for the field, get to the cake, or we're going to go the long way round and see these beautiful views. And all the kids, and sometimes Pastor Steve, say, no, let's just go through the field. Let's just get there. Let's just get to the cake. Let's get to the cake. And I'm like, no. Come on. There's some beautiful views this way. It's gorgeous. The sun is shining. Let's just go take in these beautiful views. And so I have to challenge them. Come on, let's skip the shortcut. It's not worth it. Yes, you'll get your cake, but you're going to miss out on all of this stuff. And that is our human nature, isn't it? We love a shortcut. We love to get to places quicker. But what we sometimes don't realize is that we are robbing ourselves of so much by taking that shortcut. Just want to give you a quick example in the Bible. We find Abraham, and God comes to Abraham and he says, you are going to be the father of many generations. Your offspring are going to be so numerous that they're going to be more than even all the stars in the sky. And Abraham receives this promise from the Lord, and this is an amazing promise. He believed it, he took God at his promise, but then what happened was, time ticked on, and you might be able to relate to this morning, that the more time ticks on, the more you start to doubt what God said, the more you start to think, did God really say that? Is God really going to come through for me here? I believed him when he said it, but now a bit of time has passed. I don't know if I quite believe it anymore. And what Abraham and his wife Sarai do is they decide they're going to find their own way to have this promise fulfilled. And so through one of the servants, they conceive a baby that way. And they make their own plan to get this promise over the line, to get to the destination. But then what happens as a result is lots of hurt, lots of pain. Hagar, who is the maidservant who conceives this child, she goes through an awful time of abandonment, an awful time of pain. And ultimately, what looked like a shortcut ended up being a delay to get into the promise, because then God has to revisit Abraham and he has to say to him, look, that's not the promise that I had for you. My promise was that you and Sarah, your wife, you would receive that promise together. And so now we've got to start it all over again and get you to that original promise, what I said. You see, when we do things our way, not God's way, people get hurt. Hagar in this situation, she got hurt. When we do it our way, not God's way, we can actually lead ourselves away from the blessing that God wants to bring into our lives. And when we do it our way, not God's way, and we take a shortcut, we are actually, without realizing it, causing unnecessary delays for ourselves. And in wanting to make it a shortcut, it actually takes us longer to get to the blessing and the destination that God has got for us. And that's what happened in this story of Abraham. And eventually God came through and they saw that promise fulfilled, but it took them to have to repent and say, okay, God, I'm going to stop doing this my way now and I'm going to do this your way. Let's skip the shortcut and let's do this your way. Let's be in it for the long haul. Let's see what it is that you've got for me. So next time you're on a walk, you're going to skip the shortcut, yeah? Skip the shortcut. And I know you want cake, but you'll get to the cake, but it'll be better because you'll have had a great view to get there. Okay, number two. Are we ready? Yeah. Number two, the lesson in the long way round. The lesson in the long way round. You see, we desire God to do things immediately or suddenly, don't we? And we can resent skipping the shortcut, but there is often a lesson in the long way round. See, coming back to the story of the Israelites, which we've just talked about a little bit, about how this journey was a 40-year journey. But where that journey started was that they had to be released from captivity under Pharaoh. And that in itself was quite an arduous task. There was all the plagues they had to endure, and Pharaoh kept saying, no, I'm not going to let you go. And they had a lot of things that they had to endure, even just to get to the stage where he said, okay, you can go. And then we find this scripture here in Exodus 13 where it says this, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. See, that is a clear example of God taking them on the long way round. It actually says in that verse, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Have you ever had times in your life where you have thought, what on earth is God doing? Anyone relate to that? What on earth is God doing? Doesn't God know that I've already been through enough? Doesn't he know that I've put up with enough already, that this journey is hard, that I've had enough now, that I can't take anymore? Yet we see in this scripture it says he didn't take them on the shorter route. He didn't take them that way. But when you start to unpick the scripture, you see that actually God had a reason. See, with God, when he takes you away you don't want to go, there's always a reason, isn't there? There is always a reason. And it says this in the verse that he didn't take them that route, though it was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. You see, God in his wisdom knew that if they went on the shorter route, that they were going to face war. He knew that that way, which looked shorter, that it was going to be war-stricken. It was going to be war-stricken. You see, sometimes what seems the shorter route for us isn't actually very good for us. And we don't know that at the time because it's not something that we can see. But God in his wisdom knows. And so he led them on the longer way round. See, God knew that if they faced war, all of that effort that they'd made to get past Pharaoh, to get out of that captivity, that if they faced war, they think, you know what, let's just go back. Let's just go back. That was all right. We can do that. We can put up with that. But God's heart was for them not to end up back there. And he knew that if they encountered war, that they would turn back and they would end up back there. So what did he do? He sent them on the long way round. You see, God was sparing them from trouble, the war, by causing them inconvenience, which was taking them to the Red Sea. God sometimes spares you from trouble by causing you inconvenience. Who likes being inconvenienced? None of us, do we? being inconvenienced is really a hassle, isn't it? It's really a hassle. You know, one time I was working in the centre of Nottingham, and I'd had to work late this night. We had a big event on, lots of people there, and I was getting back late, had to go to the tram, and later at night, the trams are, they're less frequent, aren't they? So I went to this tram thinking, I need to get on this tram because I've had enough now. I've been at work all day and it's late and I just want to get home. And gets to the tram stop and I just missed the tram, which meant that I had a half an hour wait in the centre of Nottingham for another tram. Not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but it was just an inconvenience. And so I waited for this tram and I got on this tram and the tram was virtually empty. And as soon as I got on the tram, my eyes clocked a girl a little bit further up the tram. And as soon as my eyes clocked her, I knew why God had inconvenienced me to miss the earlier tram. Because I knew in my spirit God wanted me to speak to this woman. And so I had to be brave and I had to go and sit next to her and do the whole. I know this is a little bit weird, but I'm a Christian and I just feel I've got something I want to share with you. Is that okay? And just had this amazing encounter with this woman on the tram, and the word that I brought to her really spoke into the situation that she was encountering. You see, I had to be inconvenienced. It wasn't convenient for me to be delayed. It wasn't convenient for me to have to sit in a tram stop in the middle of Nottingham on my own. It wasn't convenient, but God used that. He inconvenienced me to bring around something good, something precious. You see, sometimes you might be feeling God is really inconveniencing you. You're not enjoying being on the long way round. You might be questioning, what is God even doing in all of this? But just know that if you feel this morning that your journey is long and that you're on a long way round, God is always up to something. He is always doing something in your situation. See, with the Egyptians, he knew that they couldn't handle war, but he knew that they could handle the Red Sea. So he sent them via the Red Sea. He sent them the long way round so that he could show them the miraculous. You know, so many times on the long way round, it's endurance, it's arduous, it's hard work, but we really see God at work in our situations. We see the miraculous take place. So are we willing to be inconvenienced for God? And what might God be trying to teach you on your long way round this morning? Just a couple of questions for reflection. What is it that God might be trying to teach you on your long way round? Because there's always a lesson, always, always a lesson in the long way round. Okay, my third point this morning, is this: the divine in the delay. The divine in the delay. See, as we continue following the story of the Israelites and their journey towards the promised land, God says these words about how he's going to deliver them from their enemies as they enter the land that he wants to give them. He says this in Exodus 23. So this is, they've been on this 40-year journey. They've got free from Pharaoh, been on this really long journey. They've gone the long way round, about to enter the promised land. This is what God says: I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land will become too desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. So listen to this: little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Does anyone ever feel like God's doing something in your life, but he's kind of doing it little by little? Does anyone ever sense that? Because we like it when God does things straight away, don't we? And we see what God's doing in our lives straight away. But a lot of the time, what God does in our lives, it's little by little and it's gradual. And sometimes you don't even notice that God's doing something until you look back one day and you think, yeah, I've traveled some distance there. God's done some great stuff. I can see what God's done in my life. But we see in this verse that God says to them, they get to this place and they're about to take this land that God's given them. But there are enemies in the land and enemies that they needed to defeat. But God in his wisdom knew that if they defeated all of these enemies on day one, that actually they wouldn't be able to cope with the land and the land would become desolate. And he knew that actually the animals, the wild animals that lived in that land, they wouldn't be able to cope with that. They would be too numerous for them and they would be taken out. You see, because if God causes a delay, it's because he's making a way. It's because he's making a way. You see, in this story, the reason behind God doing things little by little was actually to help them. It probably didn't look like that to them at the time. But God knew that, the land would become desolate, number one, and number two, the wild animals would become too numerous for them. So God, in this situation, it's amazing, he actually used their enemies to help them with the land that they were to inherit. He actually used their enemies to help them with the land and with the animals until in this land, when they're in this promised land, until they had increased in number enough to be able to cope with it themselves. Sometimes God is delaying things in your life until you have enlarged enough to handle what it is that he has promised you. Just let that sink in for a minute. God has promises over your life. God has things that he wants to do for you. There are ways that he wants to use you and use your gifts and your skills. There are things that he wants to accomplish through your life. But sometimes God delays things, delays you getting to that point until you have enlarged enough for him to be able to give you what he has promised you. There needs to be an increase in us so that we can cope with this new land that God wants to give us. See, for the Israelites, they needed to increase in number so that they could cope with the situation and the landscape of the land. And you might be experiencing a delay. You might have had a promise from God. You might have had a word that God has spoken over your life, something that you know that God wants to use you in and through. But you're thinking, why has this not happened yet? Why am I not seeing something happen here? It can be a disheartening time. It can be a discouraging time. It can be a time that we're full of doubt. It's a really tough time when we're in a stage where we're seeing a delay. And that might be where you're at this morning. That might be where you're at this morning. But just know that when God is taking you in that place, that there's always a reason. There's always a strategy. With God, it's never left to chance. When there's a delay, it's because he is making a way for you. He's carving a path for you. And he had to do that with the Israelites so that actually they wouldn't be overwhelmed by what he was wanting to give them and what he was wanting to promise them and bless them with. There was a reason for it, and it was because God needed to enlarge them. He needed them to grow. He needed them to develop. He needed them to learn to trust him some more. He needed them to learn some lessons and dig deeper in their faith and rely on him and not on themselves. There were reasons for the delay. And as I draw us to a close this morning, I just want to give you an example if I've got a few more minutes. See, there was a scenario in the Bible where we see the story of Lazarus, and Jesus receives word that Lazarus is ill. And Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus, so in the natural you think, okay, Jesus would go. He would go to that situation. He would get himself there and he would see what it was that he needed to do for Lazarus. But the Bible says this, that when Jesus got word that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Stayed where he was for 2 more days. And when Jesus finally arrives at the place where Lazarus was already dead. And this is what the sisters say to Jesus, Mary and Martha, who Pastor Steve was talking about a little bit earlier. They said this to Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus would still be alive. They were disheartened, they were discouraged, they were full of doubt. And sometimes when we're in these situations in life, when we're on the long way round and when things are delaying us and when we're tempted to take the shortcut, we think, did God really say that to me? Did God really make that promise? Is Jesus who he says he is? Can he heal me? Can he restore me? Can he do these things? And we have these doubts in our mind. And these sisters said to Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus would be alive. And it even says in the in that verse in the Bible, it says this, some of them said about Jesus, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And sometimes we can be in that place of doubt and anger even about what is it that God's doing in my life. Maybe you're asking similar questions yourself. But what we learn from this story is that it wasn't over yet for Lazarus. It looked like it was over. The guy was dead. He'd been in the tomb for a few days already. And everyone had lost their hope. But if you look back to the start of that verse where Jesus was approached and he was told that Lazarus was ill, before all the delays and all the going the long way round, we see Jesus say these words, "This illness will not end in death." And you think, well, that's a little bit strange because it kind of has. That's where we're at right now. But it was about trusting God at his word that even though this situation seems dead, even though this situation seems past all hope, even though this situation seems like nothing good can come from it, it's over, it's done, it's finished, it's not over till Jesus shows up in that situation. And Jesus said, this illness will not end in death. His word had already been spoken, the promise had already been declared. And it was about standing on that promise that even though this seems dead, even though it seems like it's over, it's not over. Because we've got to stand on what the word of God says. And the word of God had said over Lazarus that this will not end in death. So it's not over. It's not over. See, I'm coming to a close now and just got a verse from Exodus 2. We've been talking a lot about the story of the Israelites, haven't we, and the long journey that they were on. And sometimes when we're on a long journey and we're struggling and we're finding it hard, we can feel alone and we can wonder where God is in it all. But there's some beautiful words. It's in the Message version. It says this, God listened to their groanings. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw what was going on with Israel and God understood. So there's four key things that are communicated to us about what God does in our pain and in our long way round. It says this, first of all, God listened. So what that tells us this morning is that God hears us. God hears us. You need to know that this morning, that God hears you. Number two, it says God remembered. What that means is God remembers his word over your life. He remembers his promise over your life. He hasn't forgotten it. He remembers. Number three, it says God saw. You might feel alone in your situation. You might feel overwhelmed by your situation, but it says God sees. God sees where you're at. He knows where you're at this morning. Every individual person in this room this morning, God sees you and he knows where you're at. He knows the pain you're carrying today. He knows the questions you've got. He knows the concerns of your heart this morning. He knows where you're at. And number four, it says this, God understood. See, God understands us. He understands our weaknesses and our flaws this morning. And sometimes when we are on this journey and it's tough and it's taken us the long way round and there are delays and we just want to get to the promised land, we just want to get to this destination of where God is taking us, and we can feel forgotten, we can feel unheard, we can feel lost, but it says this, God listened, God remembered, God saw, and God understands. And you need to know that wherever you're at on your journey this morning, that those words apply to you too. That God listens to you, God remembers his word and his promise concerning you, he sees you and he understands you. See, as we've been talking this morning about this Christian journey, about it being, having to be in it for the long haul. This is not a short haul flight that we're on as disciples of Jesus. This is a long haul flight. We've got to be in it for the long haul. It's going to challenge us. It's going to stretch us. It's going to test us. We're going to have to persevere. We're going to have endurance. We're going to have to commit to not giving up. We need to commit to being in it for the long haul. But just wondered as we come to a close, why don't we just stand to our feet for a minute, and I just want to ask some questions just for us to reflect, because when you hear a challenging message like this, it it can be hard to digest, and we can go home with a lot of thoughts, and it's just good to process that here in the presence of God this morning. And God might be challenging you to respond this morning. So I just want to ask you this morning, are you trying shortcuts to get to where you want to be instead of being patient and doing things God's way? Do you relate to that this morning? Are you trying shortcuts to get to where you want to be instead of being patient and doing things God's way? Another question for reflection, are you struggling with going the long way round and trying to find a quicker solution? And my third question for reflection this morning, are you struggling to see the divine in the delays in your life? Are you experiencing delays, but you're struggling to see God in it? You're struggling to see what God is doing in that delay? Why don't we just bow our heads for a moment and just reflect on that? And if that's you this morning, if you can relate to any of that, that you're wanting to create a shortcut to get to where you want to be, or if you're struggling with this being on the long way round and you want the journey to be quicker, or you're experiencing a delay and you just want to get to the destination, if you can relate to any of those this morning, I wonder if you'd be brave and just pop your hand up so that I can pray for you. That's great. Just give it another moment. That's great, guys. Brilliant. That's brilliant. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Steve in a moment, but let's just pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for these people who have raised their hands this morning. I thank you that your word tells us that you see them, you hear their cry, you see what's going on in their lives, and you understand them. I thank you for that comfort that that brings to our lives this morning, that you see us, that you hear us, that you understand us, you know what's going on in our lives. And Father, when life is tough and we face situations that require perseverance and endurance and not giving up, Lord, that is really hard. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage this morning to skip those shortcuts that might get us, or we think might get us, to where you want us to be quicker. And I pray that we commit to doing things your way and not our own way. Father God, I pray for everyone who is finding themselves on the long way round this morning or is experiencing delays in their life. Father, I pray that you would equip them with everything they need for this journey. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to doubt that, because the Bible tells us that you provide us with everything we need. And if we don't have what we think we need right now, then in your wisdom, that's because you know we don't need it yet. And so, Father God, I pray for strength. I pray for perseverance. I pray for endurance this morning for everyone who finds themselves in that situation. May we be a people, maybe be a church of commitment, maybe be a church of perseverance, Lord. May we be committed to this journey for the long haul, that we're committed to you and all that you want to accomplish in our lives individually, but also corporately as a church. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that your faithfulness is with us, that you are faithful to us, that you never leave us or forsake us, and that you will bring to pass all of your words and your promises over our lives. We receive that in faith today, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.